Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy.
All right, welcome back, Bobcat fans. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the R&R CatCast. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Foley. He's your host, Ryan Thornburg. We are the Ryans of the R&R CatCast, the Montana State affiliate of the Big Sky Podcast Network. And we have a dang sponsor in Gear Up Sports. Gear Up Sports, taking care of all your sporting needs, a youth sports platform focused on solving the uniform and apparel headache for coaches. If you're a youth or high school coach and need uniforms or player packs, please contact them at www.gearupwithus.com. Make sure to mention the R&R CatCast. You know, Thorny, I got my first bit of R&R swag today. Well, that's not true. Not the first one, because we have our hats. But I got my R&R hoodie from Gear Up Sports today.
Nice. How's it look?
It's good, man. It's a Carhartt hoodie, like nice and thick and warm.
Oh, man. So I have a Carhartt hoodie that I've had for years. I love that thing.
Yeah, so listener, if you're wondering what I'm talking about, Gear Up Sports put together a little like merch store for us, like an online product store. And we have like a couple different Nike t-shirts and we're going to put it in the episode, and I think Thorny has it up pinned on our socials. So
correct. I was just double checking that right now. I'm like, yes, I have it pinned at the very top of our Twitter page.
It comes from Hillsboro, Oregon, and shipped about 2 weeks. It was great, man. So stoked to rep the R&R.
Sounds good. Well, speaking of headaches, like you said in the little ad read there, how you feeling, man?
I got something coming on, so I'm trying. But yeah, you probably can hear my voice is a little bit lower. And
some Sam Elliott action going there.
It's all right. We'll get through it.
Just wanted to throw it out there. Yeah, Foley's not feeling too good. I'm feeling fantastic here on a Monday night. Got a couple beers lined up here for the Golden Cooley segment. Can't wait to talk about Sac State. Cal Poly, not as excited to talk about, but we'll get through it, man. Let's do this.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's get into the show rundown. Like Thorny said, we're going to talk Cal Poly recap. We're going to do a little bit of the Big Sky recap. We did not put a instant reaction show out this week. We had a little watch party for the University of Montana-Idaho game, and then Sunday just kind of passed us by. So sometimes we don't put out an instant reaction show. It's always kind of a bummer because we know most of you really enjoy those in. It feels a niche in the podcast world where we get to talk basically football for the first time, that you're going to get some content before Monday when all the stuff starts coming out. So again, apologize on that. So we will go around the Big Sky and do a little recap. We're going to get into the Sac State preview. We'll get into the Golden Coolies. We're going to talk a little bit about the stats FCS. I did do a fashion watch on Coach Vegan. You'll be disappointed in that, Roger Fisher. I apologize. He did not look as dapper as I normally think he does. But yeah, that's what we got today.
Sounds good, man. Can't wait. We'll try and keep the talking minimum for you. I can do all the talking.
We have our What's in Your Golden Coolie.
What's in your Golden Coolie?
I'm going to crack it right now. It's a twist top, so that's probably pretty weird sounding on the microphone. Before I get into that, thank you for Wilbur Ellis for sponsoring the What's in Our Golden Coolie segment. Check them out, Golden Triangle, Fort Benton, for all your farming and fertilizer needs. I am drinking a Blue Moon because what's in my fridge. That's very important. First step in this process. But I was like, how often do you get a chance to play the number 3 team in the country on ESPN2 once in a blue moon? Boo.
That's so nice. That's so nice. I like it.
You do? Okay.
I was going to try to sneak a beer down here, but my wife's like, you're getting sick. You don't want to drink a beer. And I had won a bet with the Bengals beating the Seahawks. And so one of my co-teachers got me a six-pack of Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, which is a celebration beer for me. So I could say that's upstairs in my fridge, but right now I have a glass full of orange juice.
It's okay. We forgive you. From time to time, we can do other things. I know we've had tea on here before. We've had sparkling waters. It's all right. The people forgive you.
All right.
But you're here. That's the important part. Persevering through potential illness to get this content out to Bobcat fans. Look at him. Everyone, applaud Mr. Ryan Foley here. The dedication. Love it.
Right. Okay. Hey, let's get into just the Stats FCS poll before we go around the big sky. Stats FCS, still number two. That's right. Until South Dakota State does something else, or we do
something else.
Yeah, we need to continue winning to stay up there.
Yeah.
But that sets up a top three, top two, number three matchup because Sac State moved up. Or no, they stayed the same, it looks like, number three.
Yeah.
So Montana, Sac State. Sac State, I mean, I was a little bit surprised they stayed at number three, but we'll get into that when we go around the big sky. Furman's number four. I guess we don't need to name all the other teams outside of the big
sky.
Let's
save your voice. We don't need to talk about the rest of the top 25.
The one that's I have predicted number nine as well. Montana comes up the number nine after beating Idaho. Idaho dropped from number three to number 10.
Oh, so, Sac State took Idaho's spot then.
So that's a marquee matchup for us this week. And then let's see. North Dakota State, most notably, dropped to 14th in the poll. That's pretty cool.
They got pummeled by North Dakota.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody. UC Davis is holding on with their 1-point victory. They're at number 23.
That's crazy. They're still in the top 25.
And then, so who dropped out? Weber State dropped out and Eastern dropped out. You know what's kind of shocking to me is Portland State's not getting any votes. And I'm really high on Portland State right now. And to see them not getting any votes, that's just kind of shock.
Yeah, I mean they've had a weird schedule and they lost to the only good team they played, us. So we'll see. I guess NAU depends what you thought about NAU, but in reality, NAU was 2-4 heading into that Portland State game, and they lost. Now they're 2-5. So
yeah.
I know NAU's had some good games, but they've only won two games all year. That's a bad loss on the Grizz record still. Eastern, man, losing. Okay, let's go through the... Do you want to go through the Big Sky games real quick? We talked about doing that. This could be a good transition to it, or are we still talking about like the news? What do you want to do here?
No, we could go to Big Sky games. Just need to pull it up on my phone
sure.
here.
First game, besides so, Bobcat game.
Why don't you start us off there, Tony?
Yeah. We're having some delays here. I hate it when the internet does this, but here we are. Sac State beats Northern Colorado 21-13. Pretty lackluster game, I would say. It was 14-10 at halftime, Sac State. Then it was 17-10, and then Northern Colorado managed a field goal in the fourth quarter. So it's 21-13. Kind of a blasé victory for the Hornets heading into their big matchup here against the Cats. 21 points only against Northern Colorado seems kind of not great for a
top five team. A bit of a surprise, and that's why, like, hey, they're number three now. But you know what? They took care of business. Sometimes going to places like Greeley and playing at Greeley, or going to places like, I don't know.
Sac State?
Greeley. Yeah, I know. You're like, San Luis Obispo? No, that's a really nice place.
Nice place.
Mainly it's just Greeley. So, or Idaho State, you know, going to Pocatello. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a hard one for places or people to get up for. But yeah, so it gives me a little bit more like, I don't know, comfort. Not comfort's the right word. It's, what the word am I looking for?
I don't know, just makes Sac State seem like they're beatable.
Yeah. I don't feel as like on edge.
No, this game. They're not rolling people. Like for a team that's like in the top five, like they're not winning their games by big margins. So we'll get into Sac State.
So I think Montana State can have a statement win again. And we'll get into that. So, next one on my list is Portland State hung it to Northern Arizona in Flagstaff 45-21. That is a really good win. I watched a lot of that game. I'm still super impressed with Dante Shashere and the running back Craig. They just got some really good players, and it looks like just in general right now, they are just playing inspired football. They just look like they're having fun playing football, and they have that sense of belief. And you know, when a team starts believing, watch out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Portland State took it to them. Easily handled the Jacks there in Flagstaff. Not an easy place to go do that either. Crazy game. Idaho State somehow scores 28 points in the second half, outscores Eastern Washington 28-6 in the second half, including 21-0 in the fourth quarter, storms back and beats Eastern Washington 42-41 after trailing 35-14, and then maybe it was 41-14 at one point, or 41-21. I don't know. It was 41-21, I think, is what it ended up, or 41-20, something like that. But then, yes, East Idaho State came storming back, got an onside kick. So they scored a touchdown, got an onside kick, scored another touchdown, won the game. And then Eastern drove down with time expiring, got themselves into a pretty decent field goal range, and then pushed it right. Crazy ending.
One thing you're missing is the Eastern kicker actually made it. So they called a timeout. He took the swing at it, drilled it right down the middle. Next one, he pushed it right.
Oh, that's funny, because I only watched the highlights, so they did not show that. That's funny. I mean, yeah, it's kind of funny. I don't care. So
talk about believing. Now, Idaho State's going, holy cow, we just knocked off Eastern? Who's next? Who does Idaho State have next? Let's take a look. I have this big old sheet right up here. They're going to go play Portland State. They're in Portland.
That's an intriguing game, actually. When was the last time that you said Idaho State and Portland State was an intriguing game?
Yeah, good point.
It's been a minute.
I kind of expect Portland State to win, but like I said, you start believing. Watch out, those Bengals, man. They got some juice, dude. I like it.
When you got a quarterback who can sling it, you're going to be in a lot of football games.
Absolutely. That's the truth. Facts. All right, UC Davis. Stunning win, 17 points to 16 points over Weber State. Not there. Anyways, that's just a bad football game, man. Both those teams. Weber State, no offense whatsoever. They started their freshman quarterback. I'm not sure what his name is. I'm not going to click into it, but
they went away
from Weiser. They did. And his stats weren't that great. And UC Davis, again, I'm just not that impressed with UC Davis. 17-16. Feels about right for that game.
I didn't watch a single second of this game. 17-16. Like, all of a sudden, like, Weber State's like, we're talking power ranking wise. Like, I had them at like ninth. They're bad. Yeah. They're bad squad this year, man.
Yeah.
I might even have had them at 10th. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know who's worse. You got like, who's playing worse football right now than Weber State? You have Northern Colorado and Cal Poly. That's about it.
Yeah.
That's about it.
I know. And the Grizz fans are, you know, they're going to be all spouting. They're like, oh, Montana State, who have they played? Who have they beaten? You know, at the time, Weber was number 8 in the nation when we beat them. I'm going to have that same argument for them when they say, oh, we have a ranked win over UC Davis. UC Davis sucks, man. Like, that's a crappy ranked win if you're touting that, Montana. Now, they went in and beat... let's just talk about the Montana game right now. They went in and beat Idaho 23-21. We watched that game. Any thoughts on that, Thorny?
Idaho looked worse than I was expecting them to.
Yeah.
I actually hadn't really watched Idaho very much this year. A few highlights here and there. Giovanni McCoy looked as good as I remembered him. Hayden Hatton looked as good as I remembered him. Their offensive line is atrocious. The Grizz have been playing really good defense this year. I will give them credit. Their run defense, their statistics are fantastic. They're holding teams like 88 yards per game and like 3.3 yards per carry or something. They completely shut down Idaho's running game, just took it away completely. And then once Idaho knew they couldn't run, or the Grizz knew that they could stop the run. It just became the four or five linemen that send could just pin their ears back and just get after McCoy. Every time he took the ball there, like in the second half, he was instantly out of the pocket within not even 2 seconds. I don't think he stayed in the pocket for 2 seconds at any point because he had to run for his life immediately. It was bad. I haven't seen an offensive line be that like Swiss cheese, and it's been a while, man. That was terrible.
It was.
Big props for scoring 14 points there in the fourth quarter and leading this team down and trying to get a win out of it, because nobody was – his offensive line, anyway, was not helping him at all.
Yeah. Well, the Grizz look better. I mean, just swallow that pill. It is. They do look better. Yep. Clifton McDowell has definitely galvanized that team. And I kind of said on this pod, I think there was a kind of like a circling of the wagons after Northern Arizona. And it looks like they have. And that's a good win. It's a really good win.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes like that loss to light a fire under a team. And the Grizz looked really fired up for that one. They were hitting hard. They're flying around. The running backs are breaking arm tackles, running through guys. They looked like they wanted it. They looked like they came to play. And the Grizz, I think, actually have a bit of an identity now. They were completely floundering. They couldn't decide between Vidlak and McDowell, and they were trying to play them both, and it was terrible. And McDowell's not going to light the world on fire, but at least they've settled on it, and they can build around it and work with what they got.
See what they do.
See what they do.
All right. That's around the Big Sky. Did we miss anyone?
Nope.
All righty.
All right. Do you want to get into the Cat game stats, or do you want to, anything else you want to talk about the press conference? Any updates?
Oh, yeah.
Updates wise, we kind of transitioned from the news segment that we usually do right into the Around the Big Sky because we didn't get a chance to talk about it in the instant reaction show that didn't happen.
Man, I did. In my sickness this afternoon when I got home, I just parked myself on the couch and watched the presser. I watched the players' lounge. There's some pressers that happened throughout the week that I got to watch. And so I've been taking in a lot of Cat content right now, which has been a lot of fun. Fashion watch. This is for you, Roger Fisher. Coach Vegan, he had like a checkered tie on, and he had a blue Navy suit, no pocket square. I think that's one thing he could improve upon if we're critiquing his
pocket
stuff.
Square game needs some work.
Yeah, but his checkered tie matched, had the same color. Part of it, the yellow was the same color as his shirt, and the yellow was like a really muted yellow, almost a grayish yellow. So still looks pretty sharp. But notice difference too, that Coach Vegan stands during his pressers. Coach Choate used to sit. Coach Choate would bring his card that he had his stats on.
The first 8 minutes of the press conference with just him reading off his note cards or looking down.
Yeah.
Pretty much just get it all out of the way before anyone even asked him a question.
Yeah. I loved.
Did Vegan always stand? I feel like that's a new thing. Was he sitting last year? Like, this is a weird conversation, but was Brent Vegan always standing? I had to go back and rewatch some old press conferences.
He seems so much more comfortable in his own skin up there. Not that he never wasn't, but he just has that ownership feel. Like when I watch him, I'm like, man, yeah, he's not the new guy on the block anymore.
Well, it's a lot easier to stand up there when you're winning.
That's a good point. And he does an amazing job at that. So I think I saw a stat today. Coach Vegan's 26-6, I believe, is his record right now. It's pretty damn good, man.
Yeah. And look at all the losses he's had. It was like Wyoming, South Dakota State twice, North Dakota State in the championship game, and then the Grizz when Matt McKay was starting. That's about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right.
It's crazy.
Some notable things that I picked up today from the presser. Hadn't realized Coach Vegan had never played sack. It's true. We haven't played sack since 2019.
This scheduling, man, this conference drives me bonkers.
Yeah. And the last time we were in Sacramento was 2016. So the last two times we played sack, we've lost.
I've been to 2019, sack in 7 years.
Yeah. We lost you and I were at that game. We talk about that 21-34 loss Tucker Rovig actually passed for like 262 yards that day, outpassed Kevin Thompson, the 6-year junior at that moment.
He could still be playing, lost. But he finally retired.
Yeah. I remember Troy Taylor just sliced and diced us. He was playing chess and we were playing checkers, and Jeff Choate was just at a loss for that game. But go back to 2016, we lost 38-41. Your boy, Chris Murray, our boy, Chris Murray, set like a couple records. He had like 180-some yards of rushing. And I think we had like a history. We had like 6 passes that game or something like that. It's crazy. So we don't have a long and storied history playing Sacramento, but we do have kind of a interesting history, because go back a couple years further than that, we all remember the Dakota Prukop barn burners down there. We've had some really high scoring games in 2014 and then in 2010 as well. That was a game. Anyways, getting off a little track. You're here to hear about the injuries. Lavelle Price.
That's what people are here for. They're tuning into the podcast just to hear the injuries that are all over Twitter and Bobcat Nation and the press conference.
All right.
Sorry. I know you're struggling over there. Carry on, sir.
All right. So Lavelle's day to day didn't disclose what it wasn't even an upper or lower body. It's just a lower body, we know. So I think it looked like an ankle thing to me. I don't know. So he's day to day. Julius Davis. Yeah, Julius Davis. I was going to say, is that his last name or first name? I just had a moment there. Julius Davis, he was banged up on Saturday. So I was wondering why we weren't seeing him. He was dressed. He had his helmet on. He was pumping his legs on the sideline. Looked like he was trying to get in. Anyways,
I feel like we would have used him if the game was somehow necessitated that. My goodness, I'm also struggling. If it was necessary to use him, we would have.
Necessitated. Necessitated. All right. It's such a good podcast so far.
Yeah, we're just nailing this one.
Scotchy's hopeful.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So is Taco Dowler. I heard he said close with Taco.
Getting close.
Close with Trimble was what he said. And then he kind of talked about the new 4-game rule for the red shirt. So there was a shift in rules in the FCS. So we used to have, you know, the 4 games the guys could play and still maintain maintain the red shirt. They can now play those 4 games and then play all of the postseason.
Yeah. I feel that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that's huge, especially if you're like a team like Montana State. You got basically maybe 4 extra games. You could play 8 games and still maintain your red shirt.
I feel like that's a minor but potential recruiting advantage. Like, you can come here and play 4 games and wherever we play in the postseason and redshirt and then still play 4 more years. You can play a lot more football games at Montana State than you could if you go to Northern Colorado. Just fact. Crazy. That's a weird rule. I did not see it coming. And it's funny because I saw Sam Herder retweet the Brendan Shaw's tweet about it. So Sam Herder hadn't even heard this. Like, it was like, did Brent Vegan kind of like spill the beans on this? It seems like it kind of caught everybody on Twitter off guard. Like, wait, what? This is a thing now? It's crazy. Yeah. No one had heard this coming. So that's interesting.
I hope Coach Vegan is right on it, because if he's the only person reporting this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, other teams like, I'm sorry, what? NCAA is like, what?
Yeah. Like, don't actually, do that. Brent, yeah, don't do that. So yeah, that's why we saw, you know, Adam Jones. Speaking of Adam Jones, his first carry in his collegiate career goes for a 49-yard touchdown. Way to start off your career, Mr. Jones.
Not bad. Not bad.
Cheers to you, brother. All right. Let's get into the stats.
Yeah, that was an awesome carry by Adam Jones. Good to see. Good to see the future of the running back room is going to be really good at Montana State. It's not stopping anytime soon. All right. Your Montana State Bobcats handle the Cal Poly Mustangs 59-19 on a beautiful evening, it appears, in Bozeman. 25 first downs for the Cats, just 15 for Cal Poly. The Cats were just 2-for-8 on third down. Cal terrible. Poly 1-for-13. So
terrible. More
real more terrible.
Terribler.
Terribler. The terriblest. 578 total yards of offense for the Bobcats, just to 306 for Cal Poly. 243 yards through the air for the Cats, 233 for Cal Poly. We out threw Cal Poly, who almost exclusively threw the ball. They had 7 more passing attempts than the Bobcats, and we had more yards, 10.1 yards per pass to just 6 for Cal Poly, so they were dinking and dunking down the field. 335 yards of rushing offense to go along with it for the Cats on 35 attempts for 9.6 yards per carry. Yeah, Road Raider. We need to get a sound bite in there. We've been trying to do a sound bite, and I couldn't come up with anything. And the Foley's over here, like, revving up a motorcycle. And I'm like, all right, I'll do something stupid. I regret that heavily. 73 yards of rushing offense for Cal Poly on just 3 yards per carry. So good on the Bobcat defense to hold Cal Poly to just 73 yards. 6 penalties for Cal Poly, 5 for the Cats. No turnovers in this game.
That was weird.
Although
that was really weird.
There were some botched kicks that turned into a turnover, so I guess that doesn't count as a stat. But that is a turnover as far as I'm concerned. 31 minutes of possession for Cal Poly to just 28 for the Cats. So Cats were really explosive in this game. Didn't control the clock. Didn't need to.
Cal Poly punted 10 times for 358 yards.
That's a lot of punting.
4 times for 196, which gives us an average of 49 yards a punt. That's probably the best punting I've seen a Montana State punter have. So good on sticks. Kickoffs, they kicked off 4 times. We kicked off 10.
A lot of opportunities to return the ball.
Yeah.
Well, all right, let's get in. Not if Brendan Hall's kicking, I guess. Not a lot of opportunities. They usually sail through the uprights almost.
As good as our rushing was this year, 335. Last year we had 554 yards of rushing. Ooh. And that 72-28 win.
Cal Poly is better than they were last year.
Yeah. I would get that.
Not by leaps and bounds, but they are definitely a better outfit.
All right. So Sean Chambers. He was 7-for-15 for 151 yards and 4 rushes for 91 yards, 3 touchdowns. I think he only has like 8 rushes in the past 2 games. That's something that's really interesting.
But like 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. He's good for a long one. Tommy Mellott got back into the game. He very efficient. 7-for-9 for 92, 2 touchdowns, and 3-for-18. I believe is what my writing says. I'm not sure on that stat right there. Jared White, 14-for-93. He had a reception, 1-for-17 yards. That was a pass from Tommy Mellott in the end zone, so he had a touchdown. Adam Jones, 3-for-52, 1 touchdown, 49-yard long. Ty McCullough had an up-and-down day, but for receiving, he had 4 catches for 119 yards. We finally got to see his speed, too. Pretty impressive. The long of 46. And I think he was kind of juiced on that. If he was just maybe a little bit more seasoned receiver, he would have caught that in stride, adjusted for that, and that would have been another touchdown for him. But he kind of left his feet for some odd reason and looked like Chambers kind of put it maybe slightly behind him, but something he probably could have adjusted for. Derek Snell had himself a touchdown. Of course he did. 3-for-55, and CT was 2-for-23. Aiden Garrigan had 2 catches for 20 yards. Brody Grebe, Nolan Askelson, Mikado Riley, Ben Seymour, Eli Abbey, Blake Schmidt all had a tackle for a loss. Askell Simmons was actually 1.5 tackles for a loss. I don't know how you know how they do that. What is a half tackle for a loss? I'm not sure how that works out.
Two guys did it.
Okay.
You share the tackle.
Seymour had a sack. Lavelle Price Jr. had a blocked punt.
Ooh.
And Styx Hall had a 44-yard field goal.
Crushed it.
And 8-for-8 after a point afters. He did miss a field goal and got a shoddy personal foul call on him.
It's not on the stat sheet, though. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Okay. That didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Apparently. Only in my mind. And Sam Heward for the Cal Poly Mustangs was 19 for 36 for 225. He had 3 touchdowns against us.
That stat line's not bad. 19 to 36, 225, and 3 touchdowns. That's not terrible. The completion percentage is not great, but other than that, not a bad day in the office.
I was impressed by him.
Yeah, me too.
I was worried about him, and rightfully so. He looked good, man.
That one where he scrambled out to the left and then got hit by Valdez right as he was throwing the ball, and in true Big Sky Conference fashion, the camera stayed there and we didn't see what happened. He threw a nice ball, hit a guy in stride to the corner of the end zone. It was a really nice pass.
Cal Poly did something really impressive. They just had one read and they were just getting the ball out.
Well, yeah, because they knew that Heward was going to get killed if they tried to have him sit back in the pocket for more than 2 seconds.
Yeah, and you couldn't get to him.
I think they're the most sacked team in the league. And how many sacks do we have?
No, they're not. Montana is. I was looking at that stat today.
Well, maybe it was before the game. I just know Cal Poly was up there, I thought. But either way, yeah, they were getting the ball out of his hands quick to avoid that problem.
Yeah, negated most of our pass rush. So, yeah, they didn't let anything develop because they couldn't. So it was just like snap, look left, fire. Snap, look right, fire. And they did pretty good with those. But knowing that, you know, and knowing that they passed it, what, 39 times? Pass-heavy offense. Pretty good job for Montana State.
Yeah, just 233 total yards for the two quarterbacks. Bo Kelly came in there at the end, but, you know, didn't really count.
Yeah. All right.
All right. That's the stats, right? Done?
Stats.
Brought okay.
to you.
Yeah, brought to you by nothing. Brought to you by Thorny making terrible fake noises. Okay. So this game was a weird game. Like, it feels like an unimpressive win in some ways. Like, it just didn't look good. It was a weird game. Yeah. Like, it was great having Tommy back. So we need to talk about that. That's a key thing to take away from this game. Tommy came back 7 for 9, 92 yards, 2 touchdowns. Looked great throwing the ball. I'm sure they didn't have him running very much because he has, like, what, 3 carries for 31 yards. I think they probably told him, like, hey, just be cool out there, right? Just chill. We don't need you to be crazy in this game. We don't need hero ball against Cal Poly. But he came in, looked good, slinging around, didn't look too rusty. I think it was good to have him come in this game and throw the ball around. And a lot of people on Bobcat Nation didn't think that he would. I was like, if he's healthy, he's going to go. Like, you got to get him kind of in shape, I think, for the next game. It was a weird rotation between Chambers and Tommy. So that was kind of, I think, a little bit part of the way that the game looked aesthetically. Like, just going, it just seemed like they had packages. Like, okay, this time, this like pre-planned drives. Like, this is Tommy's drive. This is Chambers' drive. This is Tommy's drive. Not in the traditional way we would use them. So I think it felt a little bit less of a flow than I think we've seen.
Got to wonder what Montana State plans on doing with those guys going forward.
I think that's
that's
great. I think nobody knows, and that's great.
Yeah. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. You'd think Montana State would have some sort of dialed, like, identity with both these guys. Like, how do we use them both simultaneously? But the fact of the matter is, most of the time, when one's playing, the other one's hurt.
Yeah. No, we haven't got to see them both play in the same game all that often.
Yeah, mixing the chilies, man, hasn't been what we have seen quite often.
Most of the time we show up at the potluck, there's only one chili.
Yeah. It's funny, on Bobcat Nation this week, there was a thread. Chambers is the guy. You still feeling like that?
So I still think it should be both. I just feel like it should be Chambers gets more snaps.
I felt like Chambers, they like early on the first series when Tommy came out and there was those blunders and we went three and out. Chambers came in second and then we just started rolling. And then Chambers basically took the reins until the game was in hand, it felt like, and then Milad had a couple series in there.
Well, I had a nice like 2-minute drive there at the end of the first half, I think.
Yeah, he did. He had that nice pass to Jared White in the end zone. I'd like to see him put a little bit more air. Like his passes are very like on a low trajectory. I don't know. What do you think about that?
First of all, is Jared White the best wide receiver we have? That's not the first time this year that he's gone up and stole a ball away from a defensive back.
Yeah. Yeah.
These guys really good hands.
Yeah. He does.
I don't know. You could see that the team had gotten used to and it was well oiled with Chambers in there. But yeah. If you're going to work if your Tommy's in your plans for the rest of the season, and he obviously is and he should be, then you got to work him back in at some point. So might as well do it against Cal Poly. I feel like this was a game where the Cats just kind of worked on things. They worked on getting Tommy back. They worked on keeping Julius Davis healthy. They threw the ball maybe more than we've seen. Our buddy Zach, what did he text us at some point? Like, we're an air raid team now.
Yeah.
Slinging the ball over the field. Like, I don't know. I feel like we didn't give a lot away in this game. We just kind of worked on some things that maybe we wanted to work on. That is a much better opportunity to do it here than it is in practice. And maybe that's just why it looked so odd, because you can, no disrespect to Cal Poly, but you can beat Cal Poly kind of just doing whatever you want in a way. So maybe that's what happened. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the running game a little bit. And just quick comment on yours. Like, you mentioned that on Saturday. I was like, yeah, you know, maybe Montana State is playing to figure some stuff out now. And Sean Chambers, in his presser today, the one that 406 puts out, and you know, they catch him on the field after practice, they're like, yeah, we've been trying to work on our passing game for the last two games. And so, yeah.
Oh, I
didn't think they were going to throw the ball. I was like, last week, I was like, they probably won't throw the ball 10 times. Come out, throw it 24 times.
Throw like 10 straight times.
Yeah. So it caught me off guard. But
well, we're working Ty McCullough in too, which is a big thing. A big part of this game was kind of the emergence of Ty McCullough. Up and down, like you said, but a deep threat, man. Like, there was multiple times where he just blew by his wide receiver, or his defensive back, just blew by him. Easy peasy.
I just want to see him catch it in stride and just take it to the house, because he has that potential written all over him. I want to talk a little bit about the rushing, though. I was not terribly impressed with our rushing. And you're going to be like, fully, we rushed for 335 yards. Yes. But, and I'm just going to read some stats. Jared White had 14 carries along of 24. Let's see. Sean Chambers had 4 carries with a long of 64. Adam Jones had 3 carries with a long of 49. Elijah Elliott had 7 carries with a long of 10. Tommy Milot had 3 carries along of 27. Garrett Kuhn, good to see him again. He had 1 carry that went for 28 yards. Jordan Reed had 1 carry for 17 yards. Derek Snell had 1 carry for 3 yards. And Ty McCullough had 1 carry for minus 17 yards.
First play of the game, baby.
Yeah, that was
real good.
It was bad. So I read those stats trying to make the point of big plays are there for sure. I didn't see a lot of 5-yard runs where we're just picking up a first down on, hey, we're at 2nd and 6. We need 4 yards. I didn't see a lot of first down runs. And that just kind of concerned me a little bit. I was like, maybe you weren't trying them. I'm sure we could have got them. I just, like, that's what we should go to when it's 2nd and 4. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think they tried to work.
Am I being nitpicky right now?
I think you're like, being a little nitpicky. I'm not sure anybody's takeaway from this game is that the Bobcat running game wasn't as good as the stats would indicate. It's hard to say that a game where he rushed for 335 yards, which includes a negative 17 yards from McCullough on like 9.6 yards per carry, wasn't dominating. And so,
I'm just saying, outside of the big runs, which seem to be kind of the case for this game, the home run hits, we just didn't have a lot of 5 yard runs. And I appreciate a good 5 to 7 yard run, just clock chewing, soul taking 5 to 7 yard runs. Like, hey, we're gonna pick up five on here, and there's nothing you can do about it. I didn't see a lot of that, and I wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could see that aspect of it, but that I think it's pretty nitpicky.
Okay. Huh? But I just had to air it out because it's been bothering
me. Yeah, something to keep an eye on. Something to see, is Fuliano something here, or is he just has he had too much Theraflu today?
Or it's the orange juice talking.
Is there anything else in that orange juice?
No.
I know there's not. What else do you want to talk about this game?
Not much, man. It's
special teams. Problem.
Yeah.
Problem. So, yes, Brendan Hall did miss that kick. A pretty short kick. What was that, like a 30-yard field goal?
Yeah, it's right down the middle, too. I'm still thinking Casey Kotchman should be kicking our place kicks.
You don't know if he's any better.
I do. I feel it in my plums.
Okay. down in the cockle. Cockles of the heart.
In the cockles.
I mean, okay, so Ty McCullough takes his first punt return as a Bobcat, or did he have one last week? I don't know. One of the first returns as a Bobcat, and just houses it. So, like, oh, here we go. That kind of kickstarted the game a little bit for the Cats. And then the next one bounces off of, like, Devin Davis's foot and is a fumble. Mm-hmm. Cal Poly recovers it and is able to score, like, a 25 yards, because that's the 25-yard line or whatever, so a 25-yard drive to score a touchdown. And then... Yeah, even the first, opening kickoff, like almost squiggled out of bounds, and then Jared White like went out over to it and like, or no, it was Marquis Johnson went over to it and like kind of fell on it while he was laying out of bounds. That looked really awkward and weird.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a smart play if the intention is there, because if you go out of bounds and then you touch the football's out of bounds, so then it's a kick out of bounds. It's a penalty. Otherwise, the ball would have just rested right there. So if he meant to do that, great. It looked like he just kind of slid and kind of dove on the ball and got lucky. It's kind of how I feel about it, but who knows? I'll have to ask Marquis, did you mean to do that? There was another muffed punt, wasn't there? Did Ty McCullough muff one and dive back on it?
Yeah.
So
twice, I think.
Yeah. Right? So not a great day receiving kicks. We scored a touchdown, but then the rest of it's like, you can't do that in games against Sac State on the road. You can't be muffing punts.
Yeah, made me really miss Taco Dowler, but it also seemed like Ty McCullough was having trouble with his depth, because he's backpedaling, and then the one that hit Davis, he was too deep. Coach Vegan talked about that. He's like, that's on him, but it's also on the coaches. I don't know if I really like Justin Udy as their special team coach. Like, hit very mixed results this year.
That's a good point.
Like, we have like a couple block punts. Like, that's something to put on tape. But there's just a lot more than pump blocking when it comes to special teams.
So those are my main thing. I wrote down the notes I really wanted to talk about. Is Tommy's return, the special teams, and then Ty McCullough were kind of my talking points. And I think we should kind of move on here if we're done talking about the Cal Poly game.
Sure.
Because we haven't got to Sac State yet. We're 45 minutes into this bad boy.
Hornets down. Hopefully this week.
Stingers down. Okay, well, we can get into Sac State talk. So let's recap a little bit of maybe what Sac State has done to this point. Under first-year head coach Andy Thompson. The ex-Grizz coach.
From Walla Walla.
Nice, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Kind of our neck of the woods-ish. So Sac State, 5-1, including a win at Nichols, 38-24. A win at Texas A&M Commerce, 34-6. Then, of course, the big one on the resume, 30-23 at Stanford over their ex-coach Troy Taylor. Ooh, that's a rough game for Troy Taylor to lose that can't be good for could have been good inside the athletic department when that happened. Then they lost at Idaho, took a hard loss there, 36-27. Come back at home, squeak by NAU, 31-30. That was kind of a crazy game. It was 31-28. Sac State, with a few seconds left, had to punt and took a safety, the old classic punt it, run out of the back of the end zone with like 2 seconds left. So, look, not quite as dire, but, you know, 31-30, that's not good. Northern Colorado, the most recent one, traveling on the road to UNC, just 21-13. So if you look down this list, the one thing that stuck out to me is Sac State hasn't scored more than 38 points this year.
They don't seem to be trending in the right direction either.
No.
They seem to be cooling off.
No, they started off pretty hot. I mean, Nichols and Texas A&M Commerce aren't world beaters, but, you know, they won those games handily like you should. That's nothing. You might get, you know, second stringers in the third quarter, 34-6, whatever. Beat Stanford. All right, now we're cooking. And they lose to Idaho. They squeak by NAU, who just got manhandled by Portland State, and then squeak by Northern Colorado. It's like, that's not a real good stretch there. So I think, like you said, Sac State's kind of on a downward trend right now. And I think a lot of that could be to do with the fact that their stud running back, who was going to be the guy that replaced Cameron Scadavu. You can't replace Cameron Scadavu, but the guy that was going to be the heir apparent, Marcus Fulcher, has been hurt. And I don't know his status because it's impossible to find anything against a team like Sac State because there's nobody on Twitter. There's nothing covering them anywhere. So I couldn't find a status update on him or even what happened to him. Couldn't even find like how he got hurt or why he's not even playing. Couldn't find him. He's just been injured. I assume it's an injury.
Going and looked at the conference standings today, just conference rankings and standings and statistics, and then so MSU's in, you know, admittedly in number one in a lot of them. Not all.
Many of them, but a lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of them. Sac's a lot, like, very middle on quite a few of them. Like, for instance, like, just one, like, so MSU's averaging 352.2 yards per game, and Sac's allowing 144. And Sac's, like, middle of the road, probably, like, fifth or sixth. Right there. Sac is fifth in the conference for scoring offense and third in defense, only allowing 22 points per game. So that was about as good as it got for them, though. Third in the conference in defense.
Yeah, I think their defense is playing pretty solid.
So
I do think that's one thing that they have been pretty consistent at. Idaho kind of torched them, but Idaho has a pretty good offense. I mean, the Grizz made them look pretty pedestrian, but you know, when McCoy gets going and Woods, their running back, gets going, they're really hard to stop.
Hmm.
So other than that, I think Sac State's played pretty good defense. But they don't have like the – it could be the coverage and I just haven't paid as much attention to them, but they haven't had the guys, like the star players that they've had. Because they had the guy who won the Big Sky Defensive Player of the Year last year. Is it Mapu or – you know what I'm talking about? He got drafted. Mm-hmm. He's playing in the NFL now. They don't have a guy like that on defense. I mean, maybe they do, but like I said, I don't really know. But then the Cameron Scadaboo is gone. They're the two quarterbacks they had, Dunaway and Asher O'Hara. Is that the other guy?
Mm-hmm. Good job. Nice.
The dual quarterbacks they've been running, so they're kind of not doing a dual quarterback thing anymore. So that's kind of interesting there. So it's changed in a lot of ways. They don't have the star power. Troy Taylor's gone. So are they kind of riding that momentum from last year a little bit right now, and it could be coming to an end. We'll see.
You have a pretty good quarterback in Caden Bennett. He's a junior.
Yeah, I like his game.
Yeah, he has 10 touchdowns on the year, 6 in conference. He's a little bit like a dual threat, but not, in my opinion, as dangerous as Sacheray was.
No, he doesn't have near the big arm. Shastri has a big arm. I was watching some highlights of Sac State today. Bennett does not have a very good arm.
Okay.
He kind of throws floaters. Like, he doesn't have a real strong arm. He doesn't go deep with it a lot. Even the passes he throws out to the flats kind of hang in the air. So I think he throws a lot of short passes. He's got 65.8% completion percentage, so he's pretty accurate, and they're doing little short passes over the middle and stuff and letting his receivers kind of make plays. So, I mean, he is a big threat to run. He has 80 carries, leads the team, 327 yards, leads the team, 4 touchdowns, leads the team on the ground. So, and they'll do some stuff. They'll do some designed runs, like QB power runs with him. I saw them do that a couple times on some highlight packages. So they'll run the ball with him a lot. The next closest guy is Marcus Fulcher with 54 carries. So he has 26 more carries than the next running back, who admittedly has been like hurt for three weeks. So that would be different. But they spread the ball around a lot, run the ball, and it starts at Bennett.
I wonder if Montana State tries to play ball control on this, or if they're going to try to score fast.
I don't know. It's a good question. I think we'll be able to keep them under. I think we'll be able to keep them in the 20s. At worst,
Montana State's defense, we're like second to the Grizzlies right now, as far as like I think points per game. But yeah, we're up there, man. Montana State hasn't played that many difficult teams outside of South Dakota State, but South Dakota State had what, like 21, something like that.
Yep, 21. And we shut them down more than any other team has since. But you know, this is a road game against one of the better teams in the conference, so it's going to be a big matchup. And I'm not expecting us to hold everyone to like 16 or 17 points per game. Like it's not going to happen. Someone's going to score more than that eventually. I don't know if it's going to be this Saturday or not, but I do feel confident we can keep them in like in the low 20s. And I think that the Cats can score 30. So I think this is a game where the Cats don't even have to, they can play ball control and still score 35 points. The Cats can score so easily, man.
Yeah. And it seems like all the recipe for the Cats has been like play basically three quarters of football and then cruise in the fourth.
Yeah.
What if that doesn't happen? You know, that there's some questions for how does Montana State play a close game that's not South Dakota State?
No. The resolve hasn't been tested too much.
Yeah. I think we have it, actually. That's one thing I really appreciate about Coach Vegan is like the whole double repping thing. These guys get tons of reps. Like our players know how to play. they are prepared for sure. So
now lots of guys getting reps is only good as you go down the stretch. Mm-hmm. For health wise, you're going to need those guys. Like it's all good stuff. So what do you think we're going to do offensively in terms of the quarterbacks?
Gosh, man, I don't know. Coach Vegan always talks about changing the pitcher. So I think we're going to do a lot of things we do. It's just going to look a little bit different. So we've been really working on passing the ball. I don't think you're going to see our quarterbacks running the ball prolifically like they have been, because I just think they're better passing right now. Like Sean Chambers doing a better job distributing the ball, going through his reads, not relying on his legs. Although when he does, he's an epic runner, man. That guy is just—he's beautiful when he's out there just galloping in that in the green. So, I think we're going to try to pass it, but I also think we're going to try to run. I know that sounds. We're going to try to bat
John
ball.
Madden over here.
Yeah. what I meant to say right there, I'm a little loopy right now, is I think we are going to try to establish a more consistent run game. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some outside zone. We haven't seen a lot of the stretch zone. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know. I don't know how Sac State's defense can be best attacked. I still like what we did against Weber State, but with Tommy back, I don't know why you can't kind of do both. It seems like we can kind of roll back and forth a little bit. So I don't know. I feel like we'll see a lot of Tommy. We'll see a lot of Tommy run game. We'll see a lot of Chambers probably running more than he has been, probably back to the chamber run game. I think it'll be kind of more of what we're accustomed to for better or for worse.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I'm not saying it's going to be Chambers' goal line up the gut all the time, but you know, Chambers probably won't end up with 10 passes in this game, I doubt.
See, I think he will.
I think the
emergence of Ty McCullough is going to be kind of a game changer.
I mean, if we got like Ty McCullough and then eventually like Taco comes back and we got some guys that can just take the top off the defense, Chambers has the arm for that. Tommy doesn't really have that big of an arm. He doesn't have a bad arm. Tommy doesn't have a bad arm, but Chambers has a cannon.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different. scenario.
He's been looking better as a passer lately, too.
Who, Chambers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm always a little bit nervous his first couple of passes because he sits there in the pocket stamping his feet. And you're like, oh, man, he's going to unload like a howitzer. He's just going to sail it 20 yards over the receiver or something. But he's got some more touch.
He needs to learn more touch still. Just rockets. Like he avoids interceptions sometimes because they're so friggin' fast that defensive backs can't even catch it. So that's one way, I guess.
All right.
Okay.
I don't have any other closing thoughts on SAC, man. We can move on to Golden Coolies. I think it's going to be a great game. It's the ESPN game, so it's going to be late. But
it's cool to be on ESPN, man. ESPN2. It's awesome.
Yeah, we're going to be the shine. So
it's just something that doesn't happen. Like, can you imagine, like, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, saying that the Cats are going to have football games, regular season games on ESPN?
That is crazy. What else is crazy to me is the fact that if we win, it's still only 6 wins for us. The season feels long. I keep waiting for us to get to that 7-win, 8-win mark. We're not even. We only have 5 right now.
Yeah, I mean,
need to go win through.
We got some games left to play. Let some win. Like we got some tough games left, man. Like it's, we're not. We're just getting into it.
Yeah, the next 2 weeks, man. It's full go, full send. Next 2 weeks.
All right. Well,
we one at a time.
Move on to the Golden Coolies.
Let's do it.
So we got our buddy Alec Nice on Twitter.
What's up, Alec?
This is a good one to transition to what we're just talking about. He wants us to rank the BSC, the Big Sky Conference schools, from best to worst to host national TV. If all teams were equal on the field, who would you want hosting the national TV games for the Big Sky, taking into account anything you want to, except on the field performance? So like stadium, attendance, fanfare, location. I mean, if it's not the Bobcats, there's really only one choice, right?
I'm not going to say it.
So I'll say Weber State then. So Weber State, I think, has a really cool venue. And when they fill it up, it's a cool spot. It's a cool stadium. Weber State would be probably the best choice there. Idaho would be probably number 2. Idaho was pretty rocking against the Grizz. The Dome. The Dome has like this allure on Twitter. People just like love the Kibby Dome. It's a dome. Like, I don't get it. What is so cool about it? It's just a dome. It's like any other dome. I don't get why people are infatuated with it. I think it's because
I'm going there next week. I'll let you know.
I think it was because it was FBS for a long time, so it just got a lot more exposure to like national people.
Yeah.
And I think it's just kind of this thing people talk about. Like, I love me some Kibby Dome. Like, famous people tweeting that. I'm like, why? Why?
Famous people are tweeting that? Who's famous? Like, besides Mark Schlereth.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, it makes the rounds. People have this kind of enduring love for the Kibby Dome, and I don't get it. Famous. But I'd probably put that because they're the second biggest fan base. Like, I mean, you want the stands to be full and loud more than I think anything else if you're doing this showcase for the Big Sky Conference. So the Grizz, Weber State, Idaho, and then probably Eastern.
Yeah, I mean.
The Redfield, I guess.
Yeah, is notable.
It's notable. People know it.
Let's see.
And then NEU probably, because NEU can actually have a pretty rocking crowd sometimes, actually.
Cal Poly actually has a really nice field.
They do.
Yeah.
But it's never full. Davis has a pretty nice little stadium.
They do.
I actually like
it's expansive.
The horseshoe stadium that's like sunk into the ground. It's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
With the grass seating on the end zone. I love grass seating end zones. If you're going to be a small college football, like, why not have it?
I think my least favorite place to play is Northern Arizona.
We're not talking about least favorite place to play. We're like just showcasing the Big Sky Conference.
Yeah. Well, there's only 2 spots, really. Montana State. Yeah,
they both reside in the state of Montana.
Yeah.
All right. Funny question from Elder Nice, Mike Nice. When standing in the grocery store deciding what to buy next for your Golden Coolie, put these variables in order of importance. Location of the brewery, cost, taste. Optional, assign a percentage to each one that totals 100%. I'm probably going to skip the optional one. I'm going to put a D in here, Mike. You've listened to this podcast long enough. You should know that I pick beers based on name. I try and pick a clever name that has something to do with our upcoming opponent or something. I've bought IPAs that I would never buy in any other circumstance because it had a good name for what I wanted to drink on that episode. That is variable number one over here. Other than that, taste. Cost is the last one because all beer is expensive at this point, for crying out loud.
I would agree with that.
A six pack is either $11 or $12. What's the difference, I guess?
Taste is number one for me. If it comes from a cool brewery, number two. Cost, number three. I'll put a number four in here. Alcohol content. Like, if they're like 7% or more, I've never had one on this because I'd be like, my head would be bobbing.
You'd be like, messed up.
Yeah. I don't do well with that kind of stuff. So, got to kind of keep them light, Mike. You know that. But I'll never forget. Mike still told us that one day. We have a face for podcasting.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Cheers.
Yeah. Thanks Cheers for listening. To you, Mike.
All right, what else do we got? Let's ask some more pertinent questions, maybe. Adam Hegland, sorry if I mispronounced your last name there. With the new redshirt rules, the postseason doesn't count. Who would you limit to retain a redshirt besides Humphrey because that's already been covered? Crazy thought, Tommy has only played 3 games this year. So could you technically, Ooh. You could redshirt Tommy. And I think that would have been a more pertinent conversation previous to Cal Poly. Like if they kept him out of Cal Poly, then he could still play, what, 2 more games?
And, I don't know. If
and then play the entire duration of the playoffs. Post-season.
Yeah.
It's tempting to think about, but.
It is. It is. I like it.
I like that outside the box. Other than that, you did kind of dig deep. Who has redshirts left? I don't know.
Quite a few guys he actually talked about today. Like Colson Kuhn is a guy that's getting some play on special teams. Brody Grebe's brother, Bryce Grebe, is another one that's gotten a little bit of play that they are thinking about preserving that. Let's see here.
The hard part with this question at this point, though, is we're coming to the meat of the schedule, so you have to have, like, all your dudes.
Yeah.
If it would
Some
have
guys,
been,
like freshmen that...
Sorry.
As you can see, just a guy that came to my mind that it's not going to have his red shirt, Andrew Paldrell. He's a freshman that's played right away. He's played in all of the games except the second one.
Like, if you would have reversed it and you held out guys like... Does Brody Grebe, has he redshirted Brody Grebe? Whoever hasn't redshirted, if you held him out the first half of the season and then all of a sudden put him in the last 4 or 5 games or 4 of the last 5 games and then into the playoffs, but that would have been taking some big brain stuff in the beginning of the season. I just don't think it's really worth even doing that. I don't know. It's a crazy thought about Tommy, though. Okay, let's see who else we got down here. We got lots of questions. This is kind of a fun one. Lenny on Twitter, Lenny K6. If you were able to trade players in college football like you can in the NFL, do you think the Cats would consider trading Chambers or Malott for either another player or another scholarship?
No.
I don't either because they're just too injury prone. It's not like we're the like the St. Louis Rams, then they have like Kurt Warner and Mark Bulger or something like that. I'm throwing it back to some weird Rams stuff here, but you don't have like 2 good starting quarterbacks on the same team and because you only have 1 in the NFL. We need them both. We need them both very much.
Yeah. To knock on wood right now.
Too many injuries.
Chambers said he feels as good as he ever has.
He looks as good as he ever has.
I don't like his little goatee, man. It's just too puffy or something.
That's
like
not what I meant when I said he looks good, Foley.
No.
I meant he's playing good. He looks good on the field. Why you always got to be commenting on that kind of stuff?
Oh, my gosh.
Fashion watch. A little too deep fashion watch. Roger Fisher, gotcha. Did the Idaho Grizz game change your opinion on how lonely the Cats are to get the win against the Spuds on the 28th?
How lonely? I don't understand what he means by that.
Yeah, how bad do the Cats want this? That's how I interpret it. How did the Idaho Grizz game change the opinion on how bad the Cats want to win that game?
Right. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think the Cats are concerned about the Grizz. I think that's a fan thing right now. So, what does the coach say? We got to take care of the here and now or something, where our feet are planted kind of moment. I don't know.
I don't think it changed how badly I want to beat Idaho.
It did like kind of open up my eyes to the fact that we probably will.
It made it seem more attainable because I thought Idaho was just this juggernaut, and the Grizz showed that they can be brought down to earth. That was still a close game. Like, that game was not over.
No, but they're still missing some of their offensive linemen. The Vandals are. They're struggling on the offensive line, and we know that's where it all happens. I think they're going to get their points. They're going to score. But I think we can outscore. I think we can outscore any team in the conference.
I agree. So that's a good question too. I got something here. I got to find it. Rich Bronick asks us, he heard on the SCS Nation, our buddy Kyler Neal, you know Kyler, saying that MSU is one-dimensional on offense. Do you still think that's the case?
Gosh, is Kyler just full of hot takes? What the hell is he thinking?
I don't know. I haven't listened to the FCS Fans Nation podcast that he apparently mentioned this one in. This is the least one-dimensional the Bobcats have looked since Rob Ash.
I don't know what Kyler's talking about. That's stupid.
Like, we're way less one-dimensional than we have been. Now, are we balanced? No. But we are nowhere near a one-trick pony this year.
Would you take this offense or the Tim Kramsey offense?
Oh, this one.
Because
I feel like this offense can score points in December. Ooh. Tim Kramsey's offense couldn't.
You're always one step ahead of me with that kind of thought. I like it.
I mean, they were fun to watch. Don't get me wrong. Scoring 70 points a game. Problem is, they were scoring 50 points a game and losing. Anyway, that's not really the offense's fault.
I wasn't talking about the defense.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it didn't matter they were scoring points. But, okay. So we have differing opinions on Chambers and Tommy here. Joshua Eckert asks us, in his personal opinion, the offensive passing attack seemed to have flattened out when Sean was starting during the first half. Then when Tommy came in, the passing attack became much more explosive. Do you think the true strength of the MSU offense is having a changeup at quarterback? It's a nice thing to have. If one guy is struggling, you can bring the other guy in and kind of kickstart a little bit or do something a little bit different. So I think it is a strength in that regard. But I'm not sure I agree that the passing attack flattened with Sean there in the first half.
Yeah.
But I do
another
think it's
another thing that we haven't really talked about, and I just came to mind, was the fact that Montana State has done this with two quarterbacks. Like, it's not a huge thing that when we switch up quarterbacks and they have success, the fan base is used to it. The players are used to it. It's, you know, predictable. So that in itself is a plus. It's not like we've just been riding Chambers and then like, oh, Tommy comes in and then he lights it up and we're like, oh man, now what do we do? Feels like that's pretty normal. Like, all right, let's keep it going.
Yeah, I mean, there could be situations in other programs or even in the past where one quarterback's tearing it up and then he gets hurt and another guy comes in and tears it up and all of a sudden you got a problem.
Yeah.
Who do I start? That's not the case here, and that's great.
Yeah.
So the opposite take on here is from a guy that listens to our show a lot, I think, Adam Grigsby. The offense seemed to struggle with Mallott in at quarterback and was instantly affected with Chambers, as Chambers now become QB1A. See, it's funny. You got two exact opposite takes in the Golden Cooley questions. But the main question is Chambers now become QB1A? I mean, I think we've kind of beaten that horse to death a little bit.
Okay, so here's a question that kind of mirrors that question and it'll be a little bit more concise. Game on the line. What do you want?
That's a really good question. And I would have said Tommy. But I really liked the game on the line that I saw from Chambers against South Dakota State. So I don't know. That's a good question. That one's not as easy for me to pick.
I don't think you can go wrong.
You can't. But I'd probably still lean Tommy a little bit on that one.
See, I'm just going to be opposite with you. I lean towards Chambers. I think he's got the it factor when it comes down to the final. Or like that pressure.
Good problem to have.
More?
Let's see. Let's make sure I got all these out of here.
Nice job, Twitter people.
Yeah, we got a lot of interaction on this one. So I appreciate everyone for doing that. But I think that sums it up. That's all I got on Twitter.
All right. I could click over to Bobcat Nation. We only had like two. CNC Cat. Rank the best way to get your brew. Can, bottle, or on tap? Second question, which Bobcat quarterback of all time makes the best chili? My vote is for Texas native Denarius McGee. All right, let's talk about the first one.
It's draft.
Tap. Yeah, tap number one, bottle number two, can number three.
Ditto. I might throw a growler in there somewhere. I'm not sure where I'd put it, though. I don't love growlers. I take it back. I put growler at the bottom.
Okay.
Change my mind. Instantly.
Which Bobcat quarterback of all time makes the best chili? Denarius McGee. I mean, Texas native. Let's go. Like, that's probably a really great pick. I was thinking about this on the drive home today, and I was kind of flustered with it, to be honest. Because I saw this at work today. I was like, I don't know. It's like Jack Rolovich, maybe.
Rolovich crossed my mind. I have no idea why.
Maybe because he's huge.
Yeah.
He looks like he could take down a pot of chili.
Yeah, food advice from someone who's got a few extra pounds is usually good. They're a guy, I mean, hey, Prukop's not the only, or I'm sorry, I just spoiled it. McGee's not the only native Texas guy we had on the roster. Prukop was from Texas.
He was?
Yeah.
What part?
I don't know. Texas is huge. The part where they play lots of football.
Well, you know where McGee's from. Ulysses. I don't even know how. Yeah. Where's Prukop from? Why is that not forefront?
I'm pulling it up. Yeah, he played at Vandergrift High School, which is in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
Pretty sure Austin's like a foodie hub. So
yeah.
Austin could be, I mean, Prukop could be a good choice.
Yeah, Prukop seems like more of like an In-N-Out kind of guy, though. So
he's just getting a fast food burger.
California burger kind of dude.
I don't know. It's a good question. I'll just go with McGee, I guess. I got nothing better. I love Lule to death. I'm not sure how good a cup of chili that guy can make.
Who's our left-handed quarterback that we had?
Like, Cody Kemp?
Cody Kemp, yeah. Nah, not Kemp.
Tucker Rovig, man. That guy's got to make a good bowl of chili.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Tucker Rovig. Yeah, that's my pick.
But see, so Rovig's going to be the hunter's pick, right?
He's going to have a venison chili or something.
Yeah. I'm not a huge venison fan.
Is he going back to McGee then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
mix the chilies.
Yeah, mix the chilies. Let's do it. Hashtag mix the chilies.
Okay, what else you got?
I'm going to ride that all year long.
I like it.
That's a great question. Okay. Bleeding Blue, are you worried at all about Sac? I'm always worried, man. I have to admit that. I'm rarely confident when it comes to Bobcat football or Bobcat sports.
And when you are, it makes me nervous. Like, fully confident? Like, uh-oh.
There's a thread. They're like, yeah, a lot of us lived through the 90s. That I wasn't a huge fan in the 90s. I was like middle school. But, you know, there's so many years where we're the Cardiac Cats there. Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're the number three team in the nation. We haven't won there since like 2015 or something like that. I'm not sure. Last time we won, that's a big time game. We lose, it feels really bad. It's not season over for us. But going into Idaho the next week feels a lot more like a pressure cooker. because I had us losing Idaho. I penciled that in early on in the season. So my whole perspective on this is, okay, if we lose next week, yeah, no big deal. I had that penciled in. But I don't know. It's weird how the conference changes right now. Like the Grizz. Well, the Grizz actually seemed to me about what I thought they would be. They were less than what I thought they would be, like early season, and now they're back to what I thought they would be about, you know, preseason. We'll see what happens with them. Eastern, after Eastern lost to Idaho State, I'm not too worried about Eastern game, to be honest with you. The Northern Arizona game could be hard. I think there might be a little bit of a letdown after playing the next 2 weeks, and then we have Northern Arizona come in. I don't like playing Northern Arizona.
What was the question?
Yeah, I kind of went everywhere on that. He says, are you worried about Sac State?
Oh,
I basically gave my worry of all the teams. I just went on for it.
Yeah, I'm worried about Sac State. It's a road game. It's on ESPN2. It's got the bright lights shining on it. The thing is, the Bobcats now easily control their destiny for the 2 seed, if not the 1 seed. But they're, if the Cats win all their games, you're guaranteed a 2 seed or better.
Yeah.
So there's pressure because I want that. We need that if we want to get back to Frisco. I don't want to go on the road.
Big Sky Championship too if we win all of them.
Yeah, and I think that's motivating for the Bobcats.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Sac State in particular kind of spoiled the co-champion year or whatever, or Sac State won it that 1 year where they didn't even play each other. So, I mean, there might be some motivation there amongst the players that were from around that time. But I don't know. It worries me, but honestly, not as much as it would have worried me with Troy Taylor at the helm.
Yeah. You know, we don't ever give predictions, but I could see Montana State coming out on this game and winning like 40-21 or something like that. But I also could see it very close.
Yeah, we gotta get back on the we gotta figure out what we're gonna do for the rest of the season with two quarterbacks, and we gotta get that rolling now. Starts now. No more farting around.
No more farting around. That's what happens when you mix those chilies though. Hey,
well, if you're from Texas, there's probably not gonna be beans in it, so you're probably fine. They don't put beans in their
chili. That's like you said, it's a good problem to have because Sac State doesn't know. They're like, okay, what do we prepare for?
It's hard, man. A lot. We've shown a lot of things this year with a lot of different looks and a lot of different personnel. It's got to be tough.
It does.
Because we've done it all well.
Yeah, and we make one thing we do well on top of that is changing the picture, making it look different, keeping like what we do.
Oh, and Julius Davis is going to be back.
Can we just give a shout out to our tight ends too? How badass those guys are.
How did I not mention the tight ends again? They've been playing out of their minds. We're using like Derek Snell all over the field. What are we doing?
Losing him next year is going to be like both Pickering and Snell. Like those guys, they are the magic elixir.
The Cats are a pretty young team. That's going to be tough. Those are the two seniors that are really going to kind of, oh man, how do we replace them?
Yeah, but you know, if you're Montana State and you go show a potential tight end or like maybe even a drop down and go, you want to do this? You want to go ball out and just be complete badasses? Come to Montana State. Okay, man. I love it. Okay. I don't know who to pick. There's so many good questions on there.
Well, I like the one about what quarterback would make the best chili.
Okay, CNC Cat.
So we could do CNC Cat. Woo! Yep, let's do CNC. All
right.
I feel like we just award it to funny questions all the time, so eventually we're going to pick like a good question. Although we do some thought-provoking actual football discussion questions from time to time. I just don't want it to be like, just send us silly questions and we'll pick you. But that was good. I like that. Made me think a little bit about, because it's building upon our chili momentum that we're building for some inexplicable reason.
Cody Kemp to coach for us for a little bit.
He was the quarterback's coach for at least a year, possibly a couple years. Like you, I think you might have been coaching like Denarius McGee or the wide receivers. It might have been wide receivers coach, but he was a coach a couple years.
Okay.
It's going to be weird playing Tucker Rovig against Tucker Rovig when we play Idaho.
Is he still on staff?
Pretty sure. Maybe not, but I don't know. Anyway, random. Anything else you want to talk about here?
No, I'm going to go rest my vocal cords. Yeah. Go to bed, man.
You did a great job. Good job persevering through it.
Woo!
Go get some rest. Heal that throat up. Thank you, everyone, for listening to our rambling podcast here. Anywhere from chilly to Lord knows what. We appreciate you guys listening. Shout out to Gear Up Sports for being our sponsor for this year. Shout out to Wilbur Ellis for sponsoring the Golden Cooley segment. You can find us on Twitter, RRCatCast, the web, RRCatCast.com, BobcatNation.com. You can find us there too. Boy, let's get out of here. Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.